south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. It seems when you're down here in Latin America, every time you get a bunch of gringos together, you get complainers. You know, some people are chronic complainers. We all know people like that, and we try to escape from them. They're usually called by other names, time vampires, people who suck the energy out of the room, or just plain dickheads. Those are the kind of people you want to ditch from your life, right? And for some of us, one of the reasons we left the U.S. for Latin America in the first place. Thankfully, there are not too many of those around, but all of us do complain a bit, especially when we're irritable or having a bad day. But you do find, concerning expats and gringos, that usually all that complaining gets done in the first year you're down here. You get it out of your system and start accepting the way things are. Or not. Soon enough, you realize complaining gets you nowhere. You learn to live with the little aggravations or just let them drive you nuts. Oddly enough, when people first come down, they find the adventure so stimulating, there's little or no complaining at all. Not in the first few months, anyway. After all, it's fresh and new and an interesting adventure, though obviously there are parts of that adventure that get pretty old fast. Like, for example, the diminished personal space thing that can be a problem for a lot of gringos. Then there's the problem of those long bank and government lines, and gringos and gringas being terribly impatient compared to Latins can hardly deal with that at all, especially at first. That's why if you pay attention and talk to gringos who've been down here quite a while, you'll find that after around 6 months or so of being down here, that's about when the real complaining phase of most gringos kicks in. Then, after a couple of months of heavy complaining, you find you fall into kind of a complacent acceptance groove. In the meantime, speaking of complaints, man, I've heard them all. And they're generally the same ones over and over again. Did my share of complaining along the way, too. Now, if you end up in a place where there's a lot of gringos, you're on the tourist trail, you'll hear gringos and expats forever comparing, I should say complaining, about how things are in Latin America versus their old digs back in Milwaukee, Seattle, or Cleveland. Fact is, over the years, I've collected a huge number of emails from gringos and expats, green gringos and seasoned expats, by the way, stating all those things they don't like about Latin America or Latin Americans and the things that bothered them the most, too. So today, to start off the new year, after all, this is the first show of 2018, we're going to give you the full breakdown of what gringos and expats don't like about Latin America. But do note, although they might be irritated, disgruntled, or even miserable in their condition here in Latin America, nearly all of them admit they'd be much worse off if they went back to the States. That said, let's get started on this list of things people don't like or even hate about Latin America in no particular order. First, let me tell you how I got started on this theme today. Well, a few weeks ago, I spoke with a building contractor who left the States. Him and his wife retired, moved down to Uruguay, bought an existing house. He figured he would tinker away at it himself because it was Latin style, had the usual loose ends and defects. And since I've tinkered a bit with construction here in Latin America too, we got to talking about details, construction details. And he said, "Johnny, let me tell you about something that really drives me nuts. Every time I'm in a hotel, public building, or even visiting someone's house and I have to use the restroom, it's a complete guessing game as to where the light switch is going to be. Now, you know, if you're up in the States or any first world country, as soon as you open the door in a restroom, the switch is almost always at about chest height inside the room right next to the door jamb. But in Latin American restrooms, it's always a crapshoot. No pun intended. Well, maybe. Oh, and then he said, don't get me started about how dark houses, rooms, and restrooms are in Latin American homes and businesses. Nearly always, he says, and I have to agree with him, when you walk into a bathroom, it's pitch dark. Now, you've heard me mention before how most Latin houses and office buildings are way too dark for the circumstances, which is why closets, bathrooms, and many living spaces become dank and moldy, meaning your clothes and shoes are always at risk. For all the sun they have here in Latin America, Latins don't seem to utilize it much. In fact, just the other day, I got into a discussion about Latins, light, and skylights. I always recommend if you build a house here in Latin America or you buy an existing one and you remodel it, Put a bunch of skylights in, everywhere. Not only will it be bright and airy and save you a ton on the electric bill, but during the rainy season, when you could have 4, 5, 6, or even a week-long stretch of clouds and, well, misty weather, with just a half an hour's worth of sunshine a day, and you can almost always count on that, even in the dankest part of the rainy season, the sun will penetrate your skylights and eliminate all the moisture in your house, and that's what you want. Because, man, these Latin houses that don't have skylights or natural sunlight coming in will always have persistent mold and discolored paint. And, you know, that can't be good for your health, especially if you've got allergies. And Latin people, they live with it. They're used to it. But you don't have to put up with it. An easy solution? Skylights. By the way, you'd think with all that mold in the heavy rainy season and all the plant growth down here, there'd be lots and lots of allergies. But you just don't see that, and I don't get it. Then again, it could be first world people have weakened immune systems from all the vaccines and garbage they eat. Pretty good theory, if you ask me. How else can you explain the lack of allergies here? So then, why are Latin people loath to put in skylights when, if installed correctly, they provide so many benefits? Well, that's just the problem, you see. They're almost never installed correctly. Well, for one thing, extra work goes into them, so they cost a little more. And secondly, after a couple of years, they almost always leak. Again, it's about using poor materials and bad installation to boot. However, when installed correctly, they could last a lifetime. I'm not going to go into how you do that, but take it from me. Latin contractors have had such bad luck with skylights leaking, they just don't put them in much. Suffice it to say, where there's a skylight, there's a leak. Not good, especially if your skylight's in a closet. Anyway, that retired contractor that went down to Uruguay said, "Johnny, when you're looking for a light switch in a bathroom, it is a crapshoot." Oh, there's that pun again. Could be where it should be, where you expect it when you open the door, right around the corner. Or it could be on the hinge side of the door, which means you'll have to play Stevie Wonder for a while because you'll have to shut the door and feel around for it. Or it could be across the room on the wall over the toilet. Another likely but totally ass-backward place. Again, no pun intended. Ooh. Or even in the hallway outside of the bathroom. In any event, he said probably 80% of the time those switches are mounted completely contrary to first world electrical codes. Not to mention in practically every Latin home and office building, there's a huge shortage of electrical outlets. They really skimp on those. That's why in most, especially older Latin homes, you'll see many extension cords and cheater plugs. Not to mention very, very low wattage light bulbs. Yep. You name it, bars, restaurants, houses, even some of the nicer hotels. The wattage on the light bulbs is, well, dismal. So anyway, being a house contractor, he noticed things like that, and you will too. Though obviously because he was in the business, those kinds of defects bother him more than others. All right, so let's move on to some of the more general complaints about living and hanging out in Latin America. I'll read you some excerpts from some emails. This one's from Candy in Medellin, Colombia. Candy with a K. She said, "Johnny, I know it's impossible to go anywhere in the world these days and truly escape U.S. fast food chains, or should I say poison palaces that are popping up everywhere. Even Tibet. Yep, I've been there. I've seen them. So here I am in Medellin, Colombia. Fast food chains everywhere. McDonald's, the flagship. Kentucky Fried, Taco Bell, you name it. And as I've heard you say in past shows, why would anyone in Latin America choose Taco Bell over the local taco restaurants? That's beyond me. I know, you've said it. It's all about loving everything and anything first world, which in a way is good because that's why we're so accepted down here and people look up to us and all that. But it has its drawbacks. Like, for example, I can't go to any street corner and not see some kind of fast food first world franchise sign like Kentucky Fried Chicken. Worse yet, beyond the fast food crap, there are chain stores from the States everywhere, all modeled after American stores, if not owned by them. Walmart, Costco, Sears, Chuck E. Cheese. I can go on and on ad nauseum. In fact, it is kind of nauseating. Oh, and they have their own version of Home Depot now. It's called EPA. All right, Candy with a K, it's me, Johnny, again. For all you do-it-yourselfers out there, yep, there's a chain that's hit Latin America called EPA. Nope, it has nothing to do with that stateside bureaucratic malignancy with the same letters we all love to hate. Just happened to be luck of the draw those letters turned out that way. Anyway, you probably won't believe this, but the first EPA, that would be a Home Depot Latin style, and they're every bit as large and expansive as a real Home Depot, by the way. showed up in guess where? Venezuela, yep. That was way before it became a failed state. There was a lot of investment back then. And that was when guys like Oliver Stone and any number of Hollywood lightweights would go down there and do photo op ass-kissing sessions with Hugo Chavez. You see, there was a time in Venezuela when money was flush. And that's when the EPA chain got started. Luckily, they franchised out to other Latin countries. I don't believe Venezuela has a functioning EPA store at all anymore. And that's where they started. Anyway, when you see EPA stores here in Latin America, think Home Depot. That's all you do-it-yourselfers out there. Even though labor here is so ridiculously cheap, you still might want to do things yourself. A lot of us gringos, you know, are born tinkerers. Anyway, Candy goes on to say, yes, I do go to the smaller local stores to try to get away from the U.S. franchises and, of course, to the big markets. But sadly, there are times you simply cannot avoid stopping in the bigger chains because, just like back home, they crush the competition out of existence. Then I got this email from Pete, living in San Pedro Sula, Honduras, town of almost 1 million people. Says, Johnny, here's one thing I absolutely hate and can never get used to. Take every traffic law you know and just throw it out the window. I'm not talking about my own personal little foibles like making a U-turn where you're not supposed to. I'm talking about throwing out the rules of the road that should definitely be followed or else. Johnny, I'm living in a place here, in fact, a very nice apartment building in an upscale area, where I can sit on my very nice porch on my very nice balcony and watch at least 20 people each night run a red light. Oh, and that's just cars and trucks. Nearly every bus runs a red light. That's just a given. And the cops, well, they run red lights too. And not because they're chasing bad guys. It's just what they do. Now, for me, who grew up in a very law-abiding little town in Florida, the problem is I just cannot get used to living in a place where the lines on the road, the traffic lights, the signs, even common sense in traffic is just basically non-existent. On top of that, honking your horn doesn't mean, hey, I almost hit you, or get out of the way, or look out. Horn honking, at least here in Honduras, is a conversation all by itself. And when you're in the city anyway, you drive aggressively or you never get anywhere. All this, and at the same time, the Latins are the happiest people around. I don't get it, Johnny. They drive aggressively, honking all the time, all pissed off in traffic, yet they're so extremely happy. Hey, Pete, it's me, Johnny. You know why they're so happy, even in traffic? Because they're so damn happy to have a car, any kind of car, even a bombed-out piece of junk. Put you in a higher class here in Latin America. You can suddenly leave the chicken bus life behind. So, I can see how that dichotomy kind of works for them. Then, Pete says, because there are so many traffic laws being broken all the time, and because people drive so aggressively, there are lots and lots of accidents. Then he says, unlike if you get in an accident in the U.S. and Canada, down here, if you bumper crash into a vehicle, the whole world stops. You don't pull off to the side of the road to let other people pass. You just stop and deal with it, wherever you are, whatever lane you're in. Which is why there are so many infuriating bottlenecks that could have been completely eliminated if the people who got in the accident just would pull over to the side of the road and have some courtesy. Then he says, talk about irony. There's still a ton of what you might call courtesy on the road. In other words, if you're waiting to get into a huge line of cars, Latin drivers are always willing to slow down and let you get in. You don't see that kind of courtesy in LA, Chicago, or New York. So you'll get that famous Latin courtesy with a smile when they let you into a big long line of traffic. Meanwhile, they'll tailgate and rear-end you any chance they get. Man, he's got that right. Then there's this email from Alice in Panama City, Panama. She says her car was in the mechanic shop for a week, simply because in that four-block drive from her condo to the supermarket, someone swiped a manhole cover and her front left tire fell right in. She said, yes, Johnny, I broke one of your rules. I was driving at night. But, she says, in my 4 years here in Panama, I've learned one thing. Always look down when you're driving or walking. There are so many metal utility covers and manholes missing that if you don't keep an eye out, you'll surely fall in and break a leg. All right, me, Johnny, again. With this list of complaints, I'm not going to bring up the real obvious stuff like the lard-ass cops and bureaucracies and lines. You've heard my broken record on that over and over again. That said, we've got Calvin, who's living in San Jose, Costa Rica, and he begs to differ with me on a subject of pollution. He says, Johnny, You've spoken a few times about how when gringos come to an area, they start recycling and they put out three or four various garbage bags and cans so us good little environmentalists can separate our trash. However, what you didn't or failed to report was it's the locals who empty these cans and take them to the dump. So while all us smug gringos are feeling good about ourselves because we're teaching the Costa Ricans how to be kind to their environment, little do gringos and expats know what really happens at the dump. They never go there. Well, the stuff that's metal and is worth some money does get pulled out and recycled. But everything else that we so painstakingly pick through to separate into three or four different containers all goes into the same hole. All right, it's me again, Johnny. You know, a lot of stuff I've touched on before, but I want you to hear it from people who are actually living it. This from expat Lester in Uruguay. He says, and you've heard me say this before, but it sounds better from him. He says, Johnny, there are lots and lots of local people here who look up to bankers and government workers and public employees. In fact, anyone who's got a white-collar job or a uniform is envied. The regular locals really want to get in on that kind of stuff. There's this mentality that everyone wants low-effort, high-paying jobs, and the best ones, because you can't get fired, are in government. I've seen it a lot of times, he says, kind of mentality that the smart Uruguayan is the one who works less and gets more, which is cause and effect for the thing that really bugs us gringos and expats about Uruguay, that out-of-this-world value-added tax, or IVA, as they call it here. Europe's got it. In fact, almost all third world and Latin countries have it. But get this. Uruguay's astounding value-added tax is 22% of everything you buy. I believe Uruguay and Argentina have the highest value-added tax in all of Latin America. Whereas in many other Latin countries, it's half of that. But think of it. That's like a 22% state tax. Could you handle that? And of course, that's because they've got so many dunderheads working for government. Yep, that's the low-effort, high-paying segment of Uruguay's society. Kind of pathetic, huh? And then, Johnny, you talk to college kids. They get out and they get a job at Starbucks. They find out that a college degree doesn't get them much. And somehow, Latin colleges and universities discourage people from being entrepreneurial. They want to work for big existing companies, transnationals like GE or Nestle's, even Monsanto. Seems like all the Latin colleges and universities rubber stamp the kids and suck all the entrepreneurial spirit out of them. They think the big money's in working for a transnational. And they find out that those jobs are very limited too, and they end up working at a clothing store or as a bank teller. They get another bright idea that the next best thing to do is get an MBA, which stifles the entrepreneurial spirit even more. Yep, the gringo call centers are just filled with MBAs manning the phones. How about that? Oh, and did I mention here in Uruguay, which is probably nothing new for people from up in the States, it's impossible to fire a public employee? Yep, they've even passed laws to that effect. Any wonder why the VAT tax is 22%? Oh, and I forgot to mention import taxes. Don't get me started. Let me put it this way. Go on Amazon. Price a desk lamp or computer. Double that cost and add about 25% for shipping, and that's what it'll cost you to get that very same item at a department store here in Uruguay. You know, it used to be Uruguay had one thing going for it above all other countries. Marijuana was legal. But now everyone's jumping on that bandwagon, so the country's just another Latin hive of socialism. Then I got this email a while back from a German named Eric. He says, Johnny, at least here, and he's living in Nicaragua, he said, I can solve personal bureaucratic problems with the government here that I could never solve in my home country of Germany. In Germany, you've got a faceless bureaucracy. You never learn who the guy, girl, or department is that lost or screwed up your paperwork. He said it once took me 3 months to straighten out a passport problem in Germany. However, he says here in Nicaragua, all you need is a smile, someone that knows the language, and around $50 or $100, and you can solve almost any problem in an afternoon or less. I find that observation wrong when people say Latins are lazy and unmotivated. You wouldn't believe how motivating $100 can be for someone who makes only 3 times that in a whole month. Johnny, I'm not saying it's good or right, but that's just the way it is. By the way, the very first time you enter into a deal like that, it scares the death out of you. Because, you know, you go to jail for that kind of stuff in Europe. But like anything, it gets easier and easier. Then there's this little letter of complaint from Lainey. She lives in San Salvador. She says, contrary to the failed state gangland reputation of El Salvador, I live in a very nice, upscale gated guided community, pay about $450 a month rent for a beautiful place. I've been down here for a few years now, working in the IT business. And because a few years back, when I was in college, I did a lot of backpacking through Latin America and even worked for an NGO, I have a lot of patience and I can tolerate a lot. But there's one thing that bothers me, and it keeps on bothering me. I just can't get used to the fact that practically every business, office building, delivery truck, and even delivery motorcycles have a uniformed guard with a shotgun. Yes, El Salvador is the land of shotgun. Not that I've ever been in the presence of anyone who's actually discharged one, but you see them everywhere. Though I have to admit, I've never once seen a woman toting one. The fact is, I don't know if it's just a custom, a Latin macho thing, a deterrent, or even a requirement, but every business seems to have at least one guy hanging around with a big old shotgun. All right, me, Johnny, here again. Well, it's not just El Salvador. I'm telling you, all Latin America is just chock full of 12-gauge shotguns, and most of them aren't loaded, and I know that for a fact. If you get a chance for a close-up look at one of those things, most of them are so worn, banged, and dinged up, I doubt that many would even perform their function in the line of duty. However, I have to admit, when I first came down, I was pretty startled by all that too, especially seeing guys on motorcycles riding shotgun with shotguns. However, almost everyone will admit that after being down here a couple of years, seeing things like people running red lights, guys just peeing like the world is their urinal, and Coca-Cola truck drivers with shotguns just doesn't seem to faze you after a while. And how about this one from Denny, who's been living in a nice upscale condo complex in Guatemala City. And you know, when you're in an upscale place, that means you're paying probably more than $400 or $500 a month. You should have nice, cultured neighbors, right? At least you'd assume so based on the rent and the upscale cars they drive. Denny did until he realized his downstairs neighbors and neighbors down the hall always seemed to be talking or arguing at the top of their voices. And the dogs, everyone's got dogs, and the music seemed to be going all the time. He says, Johnny, if you're going to live in a complex of any kind, doesn't matter how cheap or expensive, buy some earplugs or get out. Or fight fire with fire, start banging the kitchen pans, and turn up the stereo. And you know, Johnny, once you've signed a six-month or a year contract, what you're going to do? You're stuck. I'm told it's a cultural thing. Seems Latin people aren't much for peace and quiet. Supposed to be like that in all Spanish-speaking countries. And on weekends, man, it's like a college dorm party without the trash. People stay up late. I mean, really late. Even at 2 or 3 in the morning when the streets are very quiet, that won't last long because the owners of those crap cars and junky motorcycles like to play fast and furious games at night. With all the chaotic daytime traffic, that's the only time they can put the pedal to the metal, and they do. So if you want peace and quiet, you're not going to get it in a Latin city. Not for long, anyway. Oh, and I should mention another driving hazard I don't think you mentioned yet, Johnny. Beware of pedestrians that just bolt right out in front of you. Yes, they have these things called pasarelas. Those would be overhead walkways, but they could be blocks away from where a person actually wants to cross a busy highway. So naturally, they don't want to walk all that way. Who would? So they just plan their move and wham, run right out into the street. That includes people carrying huge packages and ladies dragging tiny kids behind them, too. Yes, pedestrians are getting flattened all the time, so you really have to look out for that. Then there's those Friday and Saturday night staggering drunks. I've come across a few of those, and man, they scare the life out of you. Then there's the kids playing soccer on the road and the occasional funeral march right down the center of the road. So needless to say, you don't want to be on your phone or text messaging while driving. And if it's at night, man, good luck with that. All right, so we all complain a little. That's human nature. And of course, there are those people, when you see them coming towards you, you know they're going to be a downer. They're going to start complaining. In fact, there are a lot of people who complain no matter where they are. You know, the kind of people you spot in the grocery store aisle and you make a beeline out of there before they see you. I've been there. I wonder if people do that when they see me. So back to the idea of having a lot of time on your hands. What are you going to be doing when you have all that free time? Well, probably going to be dead bored for a while till you find your niche. Could be painting, sculpting, tennis, golf, writing the great un-American novel, or collecting international airline vomit bags. Who knows? So you will have to occupy that time. And for some, that could be getting wasted at the bars or boozed out on the beach. always a popular option, especially with young gringo males on the tourist trail. Speaking of landing on the gringo tourist trail, just when you think, by moving down you've escaped a lot of the crap, well, you have, but not all of it. Some people haul their psychological baggage down with them too. Which brings us to this ad. A shrink has found his niche in Ecuador. The subject line, which is supposed to hook you, says this in English. What happens when the reality of living abroad is not what we expected? Doctor, and I won't say his name, can help. For expats, the anticipation of living in new countries involves hopeful dreams of what it could be like. All of us want this new experience to be fulfilling and exciting, but what happens when the reality of living abroad is not what we expected? The shock of realizing that our new life falls short of what we had anticipated can raise serious doubts in our minds. Our confidence in the future is undermined, especially while dealing with the unexpected, difficult changes and challenges. Self-doubt sets in and our stress level grows. Things can get worse. Over time, these fears develop into states of anxiety, feelings of being overwhelmed, and even depression. Then it says, Doctor, and I won't say his name, can help. Of course, he's a first world gringo shrink with gringo credentials, but is that what we came down to Latin America for? To find a frickin' shrink? And I'm sure at gringo prices, too. All right, excuse me if I sound a bit crass here, but... what the f***? I say, boot him out on his ass. Isn't that one of the big reasons you left the U.S. in the first place to lower your stress and ditch big pharma parasites like that? Now, sure, you come down to a new place and you feel dislocated. It might take you 6 months or a year to get in your groove. That happens to all of us. And after that time, if you're not in better health and in better spirits than you ever were, then you know what? You don't need to go to a shrink down here. You need to go back to Cleveland. Nothing's going to work for you, man. You're what they call down here, causa perdida. It means you're a lost cause. Oh, but if you decide to live in a heavily gringoized area like Cuenca, Ecuador, or Costa Rica, Panama, Cancun, or any of the popular gringo havens in Mexico, isn't it nice to know you can bring all your problems with you and hook up with a first world shrink? That's what you get when you're on the tourist trail. Oh, and isn't it wonderful to know all those prescription psychotropic drugs are available down here, too? And doesn't it give you a warm feeling to know that a gringo shrink living right on the tourist trail can prescribe them for you?
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my three videos. See ya. Nos vemos.